I know you've been on a cruise, Daniel, but here's the thing. If you ever go on a cruise, just expect the cruise line to stalk you for the rest of your entire life.
What do you mean?
Dude, I get more mail from Carnival Cruise than I get from anybody in the world. And by the way, I only went on one cruise in my whole life, and it was one of the $200 cruises. And let me tell you, the cast of characters on that cruise was anybody who could round up $200. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting. It's like going to the fair, except you're on a boat. You know, and you can't get off the boat. And so all I could figure out that I wanted to do, my wife wanted to go to shows and stuff, but I like to, you know, roll the dice and stuff. So I spent some time in that casino on the cruise, and I'm wondering if that's what it is. That they're like, not only will this guy get on a cruise, but he'll also come up and roll the dice. And we can, you know, I'm like a target for them. I get stuff from Carnival, and this cruise I took 10 years ago, okay? They probably spent more on postage than I did spend on that first cruise.
I would like to go on a cruise. I guess from here, where would be the closest place to
Galveston?
Cruise out of?
Maybe Galveston, I think.
How far is Galveston from here?
It's a drive. It's going to be a haul.
Like 8 hours?
I think longer than that. So, I mean, you would have to commit some time to go on a cruise from here if you weren't flying to an airport or something like that.
Who could afford a flight and a cruise?
I know. Like, I can't do all that. And then if your flight's late, you know, they don't hold the cruise for you. And I was on a cruise, and we got to a port. And if you don't get back on that boat at 6 p.m., like, they don't wait till 6:02. They leave you in that country.
You'll see clips of people running down the pier, like,
yeah,
they can see you running,
yeah,
and they're still gonna go,
yeah. And I had a buddy that served in the military and the Navy. His name's Tim, and Tim told me that, and you know, a lot of people in the military are like, you know, they're younger guys, 18, 19, 20. And my buddy Tim served on a nuclear submarine and then also on an aircraft carrier at some point. And he said what they would do is they'd go to these countries, like, they would go to France. And then they would, like, give them leave time to go discover France or whatever. And he said, man, there's like 5,000 people on this aircraft carrier. And if you weren't back, they just leave you. And they just leave you. And then you're in all sorts of trouble because you didn't show up back to the aircraft carrier.
I guess you're also considered like AWOL if you don't show back up, right?
Yeah, it's something like that. I mean, you've got some challenges. And then he said also, like, let's say the next port was in Saudi Arabia. You have to fly. You have to buy an airline ticket and get to that port.
I did notice one thing when I was on a cruise. A lot of, like, older people on there. And it turns out a lot of these guys just live on the cruise ship. They say, I book these year-round because it's cheaper. Get this. It's cheaper to be on a year-long cruise than it is to spend a year in the nursing home.
Isn't that something?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but I tell you, after about 3 or 4 days on that boat, and I love the water, and I love boat. I was about ready to get off that thing for will.
Well, some folks,
I felt like claustrophobic or something.
Some people, like, live on that thing. Imagine if you're, that's what's staggering to me, is that a cruise ship is cheaper than assisted or nursing home living.
And you get free
living.
Food the whole time you're on the thing.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a hospital, and there's a morgue, God forbid. So they got it all on a cruise ship. It's 98.5 The Bull with Tig, and good morning to you, Daniel.
If you're ever considering a charity to donate to, I would consider Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I had a cousin born with muscular dystrophy, and back in like 2000 or whatever, he got to make a wish, and he asked for a computer.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a great organization. The latest thing I've seen him do, The Rock sent a video of himself singing "You're Welcome" from his from that movie Moana.
Yeah,
you said you were impressed by The Rock singing.
Yeah, he's a really good singer.
The Make-A-Wish Foundation got The Rock to send a video to a 2-year-old girl who's in the hospital battling a brain disorder. Here's a clip.
Fill your sails and shake your trees. Come on, Naomi. What can I say except you're welcome? Well, the islands I pull from the sea. There's no need to pray. It's okay. You're welcome. And thank you.
That was
all right,
nice.
Naomi. I love you so much, and you keep smiling. Bye. You're welcome.
Yeah, Rock seems like a pretty good guy, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, those celebrities, like, it doesn't take a whole lot of their time to really change something drastic for somebody, you know? There's a baseball player that I grew up watching on television. His name is Marvin Freeman. And he gives out his phone number on Facebook and lets kids call him.
Get out of here.
I swear, man.
What's he doing? That's a little strange, to be honest.
No, I mean, he's like a good dude. He just, like, kids that are in trouble or something, or they want to get into
like
baseball.
To mentor them. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Listen to this, Daniel. This is pretty stunning. It's 98.5 The Bull. The headline from News on 6 is, woman frustrated after cows from a 2022 wreck continue to damage her property. They had like a wreck and 100 cows got a loose, and they still hadn't captured them all.
Wait, how could a cow just be running loose?
That's what it is. Listen to this story from News on 6.
A woman says a cattle truck turned over on the interstate near her home 2 years ago and scattered around 100 cattle.
Since that wreck, she says two cows that weren't captured have been wreaking havoc on her property. She tells News on 6's Jordan Tidwell she's at her wit's end. Jordan?
Jonathan and Lori, Brenda Stapleton says she has no way to keep these cows safe. They're making a mess of her yard. She just needs help on what to do. Brenda Stapleton says it was this wreck in January of 2022 that sent cows running all around her area near 244 and 51st Street. A couple of weeks after the wreck, two of the cows ended up in her yard.
I had just gotten out of bed, walked past the bedroom window. I always look out, greet the day, and had to backtrack and do a double take because there was a cow laying out under our trees.
She says the cows mainly visit at night and have been causing a lot of damage around her yard. She's worried about falling in one of the many holes, and they even unplugged her septic tank and caused sewage to back up into the bathroom.
It's just, you know, the nightmare of wondering what are they going to mess up that's going to cost a fortune to repair.
She says she's called a lot of organizations, but can't get any answers and doesn't know what to do. She's had some people say they'd come get them, but she's worried about if that's even legal.
I can't okay that because they're not mine and they're not on the property. I don't know what the legalities of that is. And if they're on another property, then you're trespassing to go over there and get them.
She says she's just desperate to get this problem fixed.
I'm not a cattle person. If I wanted cows, I'd have a fenced-in yard and they wouldn't get out of it. But I don't.
Yeah, like I heard of raccoons and stuff. Had a possum under my house.
Mm-hmm.
I never even considered that you might have cows just being in your yard.
Let's go get those cows.
I want to go meet those cows.
Let's go get them.
You got a good yard in Midtown?
Yeah, I could put one back there for a day or two.
I'll take one and you take one.
We could go. I would tempt it with straw. I would be like, hey, man, got some straw over here. And then the cow comes over. I throw a lasso on its neck.
And then what?
Take it to the zoo or whatever.
Put him in your Honda?
Well, no, you got to take him somewhere.
Take it to the zoo.
She's like, I'm worried about people coming to get him. No. The cows are wreaking havoc. Unplugging mm-hmm. your sewage and all yeah. that. You got to get these cows.
Well, there you go. So I thought, the poor lady, I just never thought. I mean, the million things I worry about my house.
How would you get this cow?
I go.
That doesn't work.
Got to have the hay. That's the special.
Got to tempt it with straw.
Okay. 98.5 The Bull. Good morning.
Seen this story on the internet about The Price is Right, Tig. Would you like to know an appalling fact about The Price is Right?
An appalling fact about the show?
Yes, the show, The Price is Right.
Mm-hmm.
A former producer, his name's Mike Richards, he says they got a system in place in case somebody pees their pants. If they get too excited when they get called on down, if they wet themselves, they have emergency sweatpants in case a contestant pees their pants.
Is that a thing that happens?
Yeah, man. I mean, you see some people are like pretty chill about it, but some people go buck wild.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about people on trampolines.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess if they do all that jumping up and down on The Price is Right, I guess it could happen.
Well, that and if you win the Showcase Showdown and you win 10 vacations and a car and mm-hmm. all that, you might get a little excited. I always feel bad for the person that makes it on The Price is Right, and they're like, they think that they're going to say, a new car, but then they're like, a chest of drawers from Burlington.
They have to be all excited.
Yeah, and then they have to act like they're excited about the living room furniture.
You know, when you watch it on TV, it looks like a smooth flowing show, but in reality, they shut that thing down all the time. You know, maybe one of the games didn't work right and they got to stop production, and then Drew Carey's, you know, there's like, it's not, it doesn't take 1 hour, it takes a while to do
I didn't
one of those
consider
shows.
That now yeah. that you mention it, thinking well, about they, television, I bet they do. I bet there are times where some of that stuff malfunctions. It might take 2-3 hours to shoot a episode of The Price is Right.
I saw this like documentary about this guy that you know, at the end where you have to guess, it's like a boat and a hotel or something like that. And the guy guessed $34,149 and it hit it on the nose and they stopped everything. And the producers had to go meet, and they were like, is there a way he could have cheated? And they wanted to go, they watched the film that had been taped earlier a few moments ago, and they just said, we can't prove he cheated, but we think he did. And Drew Carey had to go out there, and this is the only showcase where he wasn't like going crazy for the guy. He
was mad at the guy?
You could tell on TV when they started recording again. He's like, all right, well, you hit it on the head. Spay and neuter your pets. Have a good night or
if
whatever.
If you get within a certain amount, I think you win both showcases.
Yes. Showcases. So the guy hit it both, and he hit it right on the nose. And they're like convinced he had cheated. So,
but how are you going to get mad at the guy? That's great.
I don't know.
Great television to see somebody win all those prizes.
Well, he didn't like it, and you can actually go look at the clip on YouTube.
Like, it's coming out of Drew Carey's pocket, though.
He thought it was going to ruin the show, that people were figuring out how to cheat and guess the prices in a more accurate, not honest way. And so he thought, man, if people are figuring out how to do this, then our show's done. And so when he said it at the end, you can go watch it on YouTube. He was not excited for this guy.
We'll have to look that
up. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. It's 98.5 The Bull. 98.5 The Bull with Tig, and good morning to you, Daniel.
When your wife was pregnant with Mac, did you do anything with your family where you revealed to them in a cute way that your wife was pregnant?
No. Unless calling them's cute.
You just called and said, hey, wife's pregnant.
Yeah.
All right, well, how exciting.
Well, you were the one that told me that the lady that came up with the gender reveal.
That's completely different.
Oh.
That's gender reveal. But, like, you know, to call your mom and let her in on the good news, you're supposed to do something clever.
Oh, no, unless Colin's clever. But, you know, there's all these rules with that, too, because, you can tell some of your closer family, but you don't want to do it too early publicly. So, yeah, I mean, I made private phone calls to my family.
My sister tried to do clever things like that with my parents. I remember when she was pregnant, I think, with her first one, she got my dad one of those fryers. I think it's called, like, a grandpappy. It's like a fryer.
Mm-hmm.
And then put, like, the picture of the ultrasound on it, gave him the gift. He had no clue. He just completely clueless.
Still didn't catch on?
He didn't put two and two together. He's like, oh, thank you for this, and just sat it down.
Uh-huh.
For my mom, she printed a picture of the ultrasound, put it at the dining room table while they were eating. They go through the whole meal. They never noticed. So it's got to be crazy to try to come up with something clever. But then if people aren't, they don't get it. Mm-hmm. Then what are you supposed to do? How could my dad not get it when it literally said grandpappy and a picture? Anytime you get a picture of an ultrasound, that pretty much means pregnant, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a baby in there, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my neighbors, I was over there when his sister was trying to tell their parents.
What did she do? She
wore a shirt.
Yeah.
And it had some kind of messaging on it. And they went through the whole afternoon, never paid
got
any
it,
attention.
Huh?
Yeah.
Are we not that observant that we never catch something like that?
I don't know. So maybe I am the clever one just calling and saying it. Just be clear and direct. It's 98.5 The I saw on Reddit, Daniel, the Tulsa Reddit, somebody said, what's the best place to go skydiving around here? Have you ever been skydiving?
No, and I never will.
Okay.
I've discovered that in my older age now, I think I'm pretty scared of heights. I got onto my house the other day to try to clean the gutters. Got a little shaky about getting down. I had to call my mom. My mom was visiting. I had to get her to come out and hold the ladder.
I used to
jump off roofs,
right,
with umbrellas and playing around, but
you think
now
be
I
the
lock
opposite.
Up real bad.
When you were younger and you didn't, like, you would think you'd be more careful when you were younger because, you know, you hadn't developed your motor skills or whatever when you get older. But I used to, my first job, and when I got my pilot's license, a guy hired me to fly skydivers up in the air. And then we would get to 13,500 feet, and I'd say, all right, bombs away or whatever, and the guys would all jump out. Then I did this for like a summer where I just flew these skydivers up. I flew in a circle up, flew in a circle down. And then one day they said, Tig, why don't you jump out of the plane? You know, somebody else take over. You can jump out of the plane. I said, I ain't doing that no matter what.
Right.
I could not do it, but one of the regulations was if you fly skydivers in a plane, I do have to wear a parachute. It's not a nice parachute. You know, the other guys got nice parachutes where you can steer them and stuff, you know. The parachute that I was wearing is save your life parachute, but you can have broken legs and all that.
Yeah.
That was it. You go straight down and ain't no driving it. And so my first day at work, I went up to the guy who runs the flight place and I said, hey, you know, I need a parachute. The Federal Aviation Administration requires me to have a parachute. And he's like, And he's a good old boy. And he's like, what the hell do you need a parachute for, boy? And I said, you know, it's like the rules, the federal government. And he's like, I'll get you your damn parachute. He got all mad. And he went in and he got me this dusty parachute that looked like it had been packed in the 70s. And he goes, but let me tell you, boy, if you jump out of my plane, you better run when you get on the ground. Because if I find you, because he was like, you do not get out of this plane no matter what. You land my plane. Like, never bail out of my plane in an emergency. You
well,
try to land it.
That sounds like a real piece of garbage.
Yeah, I didn't
like,
work
there
very
long. Like, you're a young man, and he's like, yeah. I don't care if you die or not. You get my plane on the ground.
If you leave my plane in the sky, you better run when you land with that parachute. I'm going to come get you.
Well, so I hate that dude.
Yeah, he was
What's he
jerk.
Up to these days?
He's passed.
Sorry for your loss.
His name is Buddy, so he's not with
he's
us
gone.
Anymore.
Yeah.
It's 98.5 The Bull with Tig and Daniel. I kind of have this idea in my head that duct tape and WD-40 will fix pretty much anything in your house. And about a month or two ago when it got really cold, my heater stopped working. Mm-hmm. And I had the guys come over, and I like these guys, but he said, man, that's like a $700 part. And I said, oh, I don't know about that. And I said, what if I just threw some WD-40? It's like a wheel that has to spin, not the big fan on top, but some kind of wheel inside of the heater. And I said, what if I just WD-40 that? And he's like, I don't know. I guess you could try it. But, you know, I recommend replacing it. I said, all right, I'm going to try the WD-40. And I get in there. I'm like, thing starts working. I go, good. I just saved $700 or something. And, well, the guy turned out to be right because, like, now here we are 2 months later. And the thing is messing up again. And I go out there with the WD-40 last night and it goes, and the thing won't spin. Unless I manually, like, crank it like you would an old car. And so I spent yesterday walking out to the heater every few hours and turning that wheel. And then last night, I said, Brittany, my wife, I said, listen, I'm going to get the house up to, like, 80 degrees. And then I got to go turn off the heater because I do not want to be up all night going out there every 2 hours. So I cranked it up to 80. Everybody hated me. They're miserable because I was just trying to save a buck. And I woke up this morning, and the house was only 65, so it only went down 15 degrees.
Not bad. Why not just get a little space heater, plug it up in just your bedroom? Have your son get in there with you. And
you know how much a space heater costs to run?
Like a dollar a day?
That's like $2 or $3 a day.
Okay.
Those things drain some energy.
Do you need to borrow some money, buddy?
Well, like, okay, let's do the math. If I put up 3 space heaters, mm-hmm. that's $9 a day times 30 days.
Okay.
That's like an extra $300 on your power bill. No thanks, buddy.
It's going to be 80 on Saturday,
well,
so it's not going
to
stick around. Look, sure. Tomorrow will be 67, Friday 74, so I'll give you $6 if it'll keep you and your son warm.
Thank you,
while
man.
Your wife's out of town.
That's the kind of guy you are.
You agonize over $3 a day?
I'm just saying if you do that all winter, you are... can cost you.
Well, I'm like you. I do not want to replace my AC unit. That is a major investment.
That's what I'm trying to avoid. But hey, good morning. Here we go. Not trying to avoid giving you free tickets right now to see Blake Shelton. This is instant gratification because you don't have to wait until like Christmas. This show is this weekend at the BOK.
That's right. Blake Shelton's All for the Hall this Saturday night. Today's quiz, all the answers end in man.
All right, so here we go. Man.
Man.
Man quiz. 918-879-9898.
That's 918-879-9898. Callers 9 and 10 will face off in the 98.5 The Bull fight. Good luck.
It's 98.5 The Bull. All right, here we go with The Bull fight. It's 98.5 The Bull. Today we're fighting over those Blake Shelton tickets. He's coming to town this weekend, All for the Hall, to benefit the Country Music Hall of Fame. So you think about a cause like that, there's got to be some surprises coming too, right?
Yeah, and the show is this weekend. Normally we give away tickets. You have to wait till August or October. Uh-uh, this weekend. So instant gratification. Let me introduce you, Ty, to Sharon on line one. She works at Interplastics. Is that correct, Sharon?
Yes.
Do you ever get to take any of that plastic home with you?
No.
Well, that's not good.
You would think that would be a perk, all the plastic you want.
Free plastic. Also, Jeanette is on line two, works at Daylight Donuts in Sepulpa. Is that correct, Jeanette?
Yes.
Jeanette. What? Jeanette.
Yes.
What is going on over there?
I'm actually not there today. I just work on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm currently heading to my other job. I work 7 days a week.
Okay.
Oh, my God. She's
goodness gracious. So you could use a night out.
Definitely.
I could.
All right, guys. All the answers to these questions end in man, M-A-N. You guys got it?
Got it.
Sharon, we'll start with you. This is one who films dangerous scenes in place of a famous actor.
Stuntman.
Stuntman is correct. Jeanette, this is a television news host.
Anchorman.
What's that?
Anchorman.
Anchorman is correct.
Yes.
Sharon, this is the head of the board of directors.
The head of the board of directors?
That's right.
I have no clue.
That would be the chairman. The chairman. Jeanette, your chance to take the lead. This is a murderer for hire.
For man. I don't know.
What's that now?
What was the answer you gave?
Killer man?
Killer man is incorrect. Sharon.
It's Hitman, right?
Hitman, yes. Sharon, this is a make-believe monster used to scare children.
Boogeyman.
Boogeyman is correct. Jeanette, this is an early human.
An early human?
Mm-hmm. Caveman.
Man-child.
Caveman. Sharon. This is a pickup artist's buddy. A pickup artist's buddy.
I don't know.
You might go to the bar and take your wingman. Your wingman.
Oh, wingman.
Jeanette. This is a member of the House of Representatives. Member of the House of Representatives.
Your phone's really tough on us right now. What are you saying?
Congressman.
Congressman is correct. We are tied up. 2-2 final questions. Sharon, this is the leader of a jury.
Foreman
is correct. Jeanette, it all comes down to this. You've got to get this one right to tie. If you don't, Sharon will have defeated you in the 98-5 the Bull fight. This is a person who bails someone out of jail in exchange for a fee.
Bondsman.
Bondsman is correct. Ty, please explain how a tie-breaking situation works.
All right, ladies, the next question is for the both of you at the exact same time. And what you do is, I want you to say your name to buzz in. Like on Jeopardy, instead of hitting the button, just say your name. And whoever says their name first will get the first opportunity to answer. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Here is a tie-breaking situation, Tig. This is one who maintains power wires.
Sharon.
Jeanette.
Sharon was the first to get through. What is it, Sharon?
Lineman.
Lineman is correct. And with that, Sharon has defeated Jeanette in the 98-5 the Bull fight. Sharon, do you want to hold on to these tickets or give them to Jeanette?
You work 7 days a week. Dude.
Hold on to them.
Oh, okay. Didn't take that long.
Oh, man.
But Jeanette, you played a pretty strong game. I mean, to get into sudden death overtime, pretty good.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was close.
I tried all week. I've been trying.
Well, you'll continue to try because we got another chance for you tomorrow morning at 7:40 and at 8:40 today, Ty. We've got tickets up for grabs for Josh Turner, so keep that in mind. Guys, could you do me one last favor and give me three numbers and an animal?
98.5
the Bull. So, Daniel, what time tonight are you coming to the baseball practice to help
out? I am not coming to that.
You know, Daniel, when my wife was pregnant, I said, Daniel, listen, I would love for you to be my son's godfather. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember it quite well. Okay. Yes,
thank
you.
So anyway, Then later on, I found out that, like, maybe you couldn't be his godfather because you had to be part of the church and stuff. And you got so hurt that you, like, basically sat me down and said, that's kind of messed up.
You
and
don't,
I said,
you don't know offer what? To you know make what? Somebody your kid's godfather and then go, you know what, I don't think so.
Well, I had to, but anyway, I said, you know what, you're right. I've already committed to you, and I do think you would be a great guy to choose to raise my son, God forbid, if I get hit by a Hershey's bar truck or something.
Mm-hmm.
And but then you won't come out to a practice. That's what hurts.
What do I need to watch a practice
You don't
for?
Need to watch a practice. You need to get out there and throw some grounders to the boys and throw some pop flies to the boys. There's a bunch of boys on the team. I can't do it all.
Well, I thought you already had your coaching staff worked out.
Now, would I keep asking you that if I thought we were totally full?
You said you got this college guy that's also helping coach. And remember, yeah. I'm trying to get you to go out there and see if he can throw a baseball 100 yards. We got to make all this happen.
Well, then come out tonight and we'll
test. No, you're not tricking me out there.
It's going to be great weather.
What is the weather?
49 and windy-ish.
Oh, gosh, buddy. That wind out there last couple of nights has been brutal.
I'm a little concerned. Remember when I went like 5 weeks and I could not talk on the radio?
Yeah.
I'm concerned I'll get sick out there, but, you know.
You got to preserve that golden voice of yours, Ty.
Can't let this thing go to waste.
You are having such a hard time. Ty would be doing a contest, and the guy would pass away. I mean, literally start coughing, hacking, had to get people in here with defibrillators.
Mm-hmm.
You sound better now.
Thank you.
I want you to wear, like, a shawl or something out there to stay warm.
Like a scarf?
You need to just sit in a wheelchair with a blanket on your legs. In the corner of the field. You don't need to be out there actually doing any coaching.
Okay.
Not at your age.
Young 40s. Yeah. I'm getting up there. It's 98.5 The Bull. Good morning. On my big green tractor. If you've been following the bridge story, you've probably heard that the ship alerted people on land that we can't control this thing. And they called ahead and said, mayday, 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 with the ship in Baltimore. And these first responders, they reacted so quickly, they shut down the bridge, and then we hear reports of cars on the bridge, and I thought, oh, my God, you know, there must have been some poor guy just driving. But what really happened was they shut down the bridge to traffic, and the people that fell into the water were just out there working on potholes with their trucks. So there was no active traffic on the bridge, as far as I can tell.
I wonder why, was it 7 that fell in the water? I wonder why they weren't
people.
Told to radio and told to get off of the bridge.
I don't know, because, like, you think about, yeah, it's a good question. However, I would imagine that if you're a first responder and you want to close down the bridge, you just go out there and you stop traffic on one side, you stop traffic on the other, and maybe they didn't know there were people actively working on the bridge. Fixing potholes is what they were doing.
Possibility.
You got audio. Daniel's got this audio. It's amazing. We all heard that and by the way, when a ship leaves a harbor, a local harbor, it's local people taking that ship out. It's not the regular crew. It's people that are very familiar with that area, and they get the ship out to sea, and then they hop off. And then the regular captain takes over for the rest of the trip.
These were
local people.
The quick response from the Baltimore Bridge dispatch that helped save they saved probably so many lives.
I saw a picture, Daniel, of what the traffic usually looks like on that thing. Completely packed with cars. Well, and had they not shut that thing down.
Yeah, and the bridge is, didn't you tell me, 1.7 miles long? That's
a huge bridge.
A tremendous length of bridge. But here's a communication that has stopped the traffic on both sides of the key bridge as they're working here, and there's a problem with that cargo ship.
I need one of you guys on the south side, one of you guys on the north side, hold all traffic on the key bridge. There's a ship approaching that just lost their steering. So that until you get that under control, we got to stop all traffic.
Coming around to the south side.
Yeah, if we can stop traffic, just make sure no one's on the bridge right now. There's a crew up there. You might want to notify whoever the foreman is, see if we can get them off the bridge temporarily.
10-4, once the other unit gets here, I'll line up on the bridge.
C-13 dispatch, the whole bridge just fell down. Everybody, the whole bridge just collapsed.
Do we know if all traffic will stop?
I can't get to the other side, sir. The bridge is down.
C-13, I'm holding all traffic northbound.
We don't know what that music was behind that clip, but apparently the guy knew there was a crew on the bridge and they just couldn't get to him in time.
What a nightmare. You're on this cargo ship and it's floating and there's just nothing you can do to mm-hmm. to stop it at all. I was surprised that when we were talking about this yesterday that this happened even here in Tulsa. There wasn't there a barge Oklahoma. Or something that oh, was that in somewhere in Oklahoma? A barge had gotten loose and was headed toward, was it a bridge around? I'm trying to remember from 2 or 3 years ago. But I remember this being a very scary situation where this large boat or barge is just drifting mm-hmm. and nothing you can do to stop this thing.
I saw a guy on television yesterday, and he was a bridge expert. He's like an architect or something. And he says what we're doing now with the newer bridges is we build the bridge, and then we put barriers around the like the pylons or whatever mm-hmm. you want to call them. So if a ship does hit it, it just tears up the barrier but not actually hit the bridge.
And I can't help wonder what life is going to be like in Baltimore here for the next, gosh, foreseeable future. It's going to be such a major undertaking, removing the bridge.
That's what they said, and I saw a guy also say that if they can, they may be able to salvage some of the foundation that's under the water, and that would help speed up the bridge process of rebuilding, but if it's all just lost, it's going to take a long, long time.
And you said it was such a major shipping port. You said the largest automotive.
That's what they say as far as cars coming into this country. That's the biggest port for it. There's people on a cruise that are supposed to go back into that port. They're going to have to choose a different port. It's a big old mess. And too bad that we had loss of life there. But that was a pretty crazy thing yesterday. I mean, me and Danny were on the air yesterday, and this started breaking. And you guys all saw the images. That thing fell in about 4 seconds.
It looked like it was from a movie, didn't it?
It did.
It was. I was seeing video of it, but it looked so unreal the way it just one.
It just hit
part it. Of it, just the whole thing, mm-hmm. a mile over a mile and a half of bridge gone in an instant.
Well, thank God those guys alerted people on land, and they were able to close the bridge down. Probably could have been a much more profound loss of life, but what a wild thing that happened there in Baltimore. 98.5 The Bull. I am Tig, and there's Daniel.
Okay, I've researched that the runaway barge. This was crashing the lock and dam on the Arkansas River near Weber's Falls. I've got here a clip from newsonsix.com if you'd like to hear Dustin Stone, helicopter pilot, kind of covering this.
So we were talking about the Baltimore Bridge, but that's happened here. And so, Daniel, you got some info.
Little clip here.
Out there earlier, we haven't seen them even close at this point. They were more back upriver, just kind of circling it. And Dustin, give us an idea here. This is coming up close.
They're
now.
There, Dave. Here they come. So probably 20, 30 yards.
To paint the picture here, the barge, and you can see this story at newsonsix.com,
don't know what's going to happen.
It's approaching now the lock and the dam. Now, if a barge knocked down the dam, that would be
total disaster.
Total disaster.
Yeah.
And so now at this point, the barge is approaching the lock of the dam, and
barges have made contact with lock and dam, and it looks like they're being turned around, one of them being submerged as they're twisting, going under. The red one has gone under. Now the other, we're just hoping they don't break through at this point.
Okay, and as we know, they did not break through. But I guess that barge incident maybe happens from time to time.
You do hear about it. I was in New Orleans one time on a church trip, and there's a mall right there at the port of New Orleans on the water, and a ship hit it while we were down there, and like Krispy Kreme fell into the water and several shops. So this is, if a ship loses power, if you could imagine, if you're even on like a little pontoon boat, you put that thing in neutral, you're still going forward.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to throw it in reverse, I guess, if they don't have that power.
I guess I assumed with any ship that it has an anchor, and you just drop that anchor, but of course
they did
I'm
drop
wrong.
The anchor.
And it still just drug still, it that far?
You got like 100, how many tons were on that?
Whoa.
It's so hard to stop
crazy.
That kind of ship.
There's no other way to stop it, right?
I guess if you lose power, I guess it's just up to the, it's up to fate at that point. I don't know. So, tough day there in Baltimore, man.
Also, props
people.
To Dustin Stone back there covering that in that helicopter. Imagine you're trying to report on something and fly a helicopter. You already know that you're on
it.
Television. He's like, and this all this is going down. So if you want to go see that story, newsonsix.com.
It's 98.5 The Bull with Tig and Daniel. Zach Bryan. Morning. Please.
Please turn those headlights around. Please turn those.
We've all seen the images of that bridge that fell, man. It fell in like 4 seconds, too. I mean, no time to react if you were on that bridge in Baltimore. It's 98.5 The Bull. We all know the story by now. You've probably seen the images. Eric Bam is with us. Hey, man, what's up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So the thing that you guys were just listening to, that runaway barge, there was one, so I think why that was such a big deal, there was one a couple of years earlier, and I can't remember when it was, but there was a barge that hit a bridge on I-40 closer to Arkansas and took the bridge out, and cars drove off into the river.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be before our time, so, man, this must happen a lot, really.
Yeah, that happened before you guys got here, but that barge deal that you guys were just playing, I think the reason why that was such a big deal was it was obviously because it was important to figure out what was going on, but that because that had happened on I-40, you know, a few years back, and I think on that one, I think the guy driving the barge, the captain or whatever you want to call him, had a few cocktails.
Allegedly.
So, yeah, so you should look that up, because I think that's what kind of really spurned the whole big scare about that runaway barge, which you know, was scary in general, but kind of anticlimactic.
These first responders in Baltimore, it's like amazing that they were able to shut down a major artery that quick. And barely, nobody was actually driving on the bridge. The people they were looking for were working on potholes that were already on the bridge, but there was no active traffic. Ain't that crazy?
You know, what's cool to me is those are the protocols that are in place for things like that we just don't even think about. And you know, when something like that happens, every mayor across America is going, all right, are we good? Are we good? Are we set on this stuff? And, you know, and maybe that's the silver lining. When tragedy happens is that, you know, it puts everybody on notice that, you know, maybe Mayor Bynum said, you know, yesterday, like, hey, what happens if something happens on the Arkansas, you know, the bridge on the 71st Street Bridge? Are we good?
Yeah, you start thinking about your own situation.
Yeah, 100%. But you guys should look up the older one that happened, and I don't remember when it was, but it was a few years before the one you just played, and watch that one, because that one was probably what spurned a little bit of the craziness about this runaway barge.
Well, good morning, it's 98.5 The Bull. I'm still just amazed that the first responders in Baltimore were able to close down a major artery. I know it was early in the morning, but there was nobody on the bridge except for some guys that were fixing potholes. And once the ship called in and said, we can't control this thing, they went out there, shut down that bridge, probably saved God knows how many lives. Hey, what's this?
Hi. Okay, so my name's Maggie, and I'm from Weber's Falls. So I heard you guys talking about the bridge collapse.
Yeah, we were talking about the one in Baltimore, but we know stuff's happened around here, too.
Yeah, so the barge, that happened a couple years ago, and that was when we had that huge flood. So that's why it was such a big deal, because it was going to crash into the dam that was holding so much water. But that bridge collapse that the guy that just called in, he was talking about, he said it happened closer to Arkansas, but that was actually in 2002, I believe, in Weber's Falls as well. I think 14 people lost their lives on that.
God, this is so tough to hear about.
Did that collapse a bridge too?
It did, yeah. That's the one in Weber's Falls on the I-40.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you're just going through life, and, you know, Daniel just took a road trip to see his family, and you just go over these bridges, and you don't think anything about it, and then you just never know.
This is kind of like after 9/11, everybody, all the focus for any other transportation went away. Then we're just scared to death of airplanes.
And now you're scared of bridges.
Now we're going to be top of mind whenever I'm going, when I'm crossing from Arkansas into Tennessee on that bridge there in Memphis.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, oh, shoot.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
man.
We farm in Weber's Falls. And so, I mean, you know, crossing those bridges daily, and sometimes that same bridge that collapsed, you know, farm equipment going over it. It's really sad.
Did you live in Weber's Falls at the time?
I didn't. My husband did. He's from there. He's a third generation farmer there, so he grew up there.
Did he speak on what it was like in the town after the bridge collapsed? That's got to be it must have been just an awful 4, 5, even 10 years after that.
Right. They have a little memorial down there in the Weber's Falls Park, like a statue, and I think it lists the
victims.
Lost lives.
Yeah. Oh, I had no idea.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So that's why that barge was a big deal as well. But that was also when we had that historic flood. So, and it flooded all of Weber's Falls.
Yeah, that's right. If the dam would have busted during that flood, I mean, God knows what would have happened. But
yeah, we had to evacuate, actually.
Oh, really?
They made us, like, out of town. Evacuate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And we lost. I mean, of course, because of the flood anyways. But I remember right before the barge, you know, it was crashing. They came through town and were asking people to kind of, you know, get out. So,
you know, I grew up in an area where they had, they would, when a hurricane would come to Gulf Shores, the area I grew up in, they would have a mandatory evacuation. But that didn't mean they were going to come to your house and tell you to leave. That meant that if you called 911, they weren't coming for you. So it was your choice.
Right.
So if you stayed during the flood and things went haywire, they weren't going to help you. 98.5 The Bull with Tig and Daniel.
It's like you're asking me what I'd like to talk about here.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think I'd like to talk about?
You?
No. Where's your head at this morning?
I'm present.
Okay.
What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the Josh Turner tickets that we're going to give away that we've been teasing.
Yeah.
What is going on here, buddy?
What do you mean, what's going on? I know we have a giveaway right now for Josh Turner tickets.
You're testing me.
Yes. Because, like, half the time I come into work and I go, Daniel, you know what's coming up? And he goes, oh.
Oh, now you're trying to claim that it's me who doesn't know what's going on.
Yes. Like, you work here, buddy.
I say hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy?
Hypocrisy.
I knew what was coming up.
You were testing me, were you?
Yes.
Trying to throw me under the bus.
Because, yeah, I come into work and I go, you know what's happening at 7? Oh, you don't know what you're doing.
I don't know what I'm doing.
So what are we going to play for Josh Turner tickets?
I'm going to do one of your favorites.
Okay.
The Mexican food quiz.
I love that quiz.
918. I'm doing it for you, buddy. It's
my favorite.
It's the least I can do.
This is where you list off ingredients in Mexican dishes, and you got to tell us what it is.
Right. Now, there's two things we could do here, Tig. You can just grab the call now, live right here on the air, or you can play a song. I'm going to leave that up to you.
Let's do it now.
Oh, look at Tig flying by the seat of his
pants.
No
time like the present.
What an exciting moment.
So we're taking caller 9. Watch this.
Here we go.
A little backstage pass on how it works here.
Very exciting.
Hey, good morning. You're caller number 1. Hey, good morning. You're caller number 2. Hey, good morning. You're caller 3. Hey, good morning. You're caller number 4. Hey, good morning. You're caller number 5. Good morning. You're caller number 6. Good morning. You're caller number 7. Good morning, you're caller number 8, and here
that's
is
always the heartbreakers, caller number 8,
lucky,
isn't it?
Lucky, yeah, heartbreaker. On
All right, it's Tig and Daniel. Who's this?
Oh, it fell? All right.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a backup caller number 9.
It's Tig and Daniel. Who's this?
Krista.
Krista, have you heard what's just happened here? You were caller number 9.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you got a little backstage pass of how it actually works whenever we ask for callers. That's how quickly we cycle through them. We have 4 phone lines. And the reason I'm revealing all this, Tig, is because coming up on Monday, we start the Sound of Moolah again, and people try so hard to get through. But so you just got a little backstage pass of how we answer those phones. If you call too early, you're going to be caller number 1, which does you no good. If you're the first 4 callers, you're just hanging on those lines and doesn't help, in other words.
Yep. A lot of people try to call early, and I'm like, if you call too early, you're going to be caller number 1, so you're right. But here we go. We got caller number 9. Where do you live? What city?
Porter.
Porter, you're playing now for Josh Turner tickets. He's going to be at the Hard Rock Live inside Hard Rock Hotel and Casino August 15th. You'll also be entered in to win the Live Live experience. You'll get to stay at the hotel that night and have dinner for 2 at McGill's on 19. Have you been to McGill's on 19 yet?
I have not.
Tig, how would you describe it up
there? It's beautiful. It's such a good view of the city. And
it really is.
You feel all fancy and stuff.
Food is good as well. Enough tomfoolery. Let's get down to business. Krista, have you ever tried Mexican food?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give you some ingredients, and based on those ingredients, you're going to pick the Mexican entree or the food. Are you ready to go here?
I can do this. Okay.
All right. Up first, Christina.
Krista.
Excuse me. That was Tig's fault. I've lost the quiz, Tig. All right, here we go.
Sorry.
Krista, tortilla, meat, cheese, vegetables.
Burrito?
That is correct. Question number 2, Krista. Tortilla, meat, cheese, vegetables.
Burrito.
Can't use the same answer twice.
Come on, Krista. Give her a buzz.
Give her a buzz?
Yeah. All right. So far, you've gotten one and missed one. Question number three. Tortilla. Meat. Cheese. Vegetables.
A fajita.
Fajita is correct. Tortilla. No, excuse me. Question number four, Krista. Tortilla. Meat. Cheese. Vegetables.
Chalupa?
What did she say?
Chalupa.
Chalupa. Okay, we'll give you that one. All right. Christina. Krista, excuse me. Forgive me. I'm sure you hear that all the time, right? Krista.
Yes.
Meat. Cheese. Tortilla. Vegetable.
An enchilada.
Enchilada is correct. Moving on.
Mexican food, very dynamic.
Yeah. Moving on. Tortilla. Meat. Cheese. Vegetables.
Quesadilla.
That is correct. Up next. Tortilla. Meat. Cheese. Vegetables.
A taco.
That's correct. Up next, tortilla.
Okay, come on.
What's the problem, Ty?
Yeah, all right.
Meat.
I'm running out of ideas.
I know, that's what I'm trying to get to. Cheese. Vegetables.
I have no idea.
All right, well.
Well, she got most right. She
you
got
did get
wrong.
Most right. You've gotten enough to go see Josh Turner at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Who are you going to take to the show with you?
My husband.
Now, what's your husband's name?
Eli.
Eli, so we're going to lower the music here, and you're going to take over the airwaves and give Eli a shout-out, maybe whisper some sweet nothings, and tell him that you're going to go to the show, okay? Well, you take it over now. Go ahead.
Honey, we are going to see Josh Turner. Mm. We're going to have us a baby with no kids.
Oh. What are you making that noise right for, Daniel?
I'm being romantic, Tig. Go ahead, Krista. Keep going.
Krista.
I love you. He's sitting right here. So
oh,
he can
oh.
Hear
well, then give him the phone and let him say some sweet nothings to you.
Oh, here you go. Say hi, honey.
Oh. It's going to be fun.
Oh, that's a silver tongue devil. Did you hear him talking? She said all these romantic things. He goes, it's going to be fun. All right, you two. Well, congratulations. Say hello to Josh Turner for us. You're now in the running for that Live Live experience, the kind of like the staycation. You'll stay at the hotel. And you might just win dinner for two at McGill's. Could you guys do me one last favor and give me three numbers and an animal?
Three numbers, 4, 10, 12, and pig.
She's caught okay. On. Yeah, she's she listens a lot.
What does Tig have to do with this? It's 98.5 the Bull.
98.5
The Bull. 98.5 The Bull weather, provided by Community Care, your locally owned health plan.
98.5 The Bull with Tig and Daniel. Hey, now.
I was going to ask you, Tig, what do you think? I've got a story here of a guy that I think is pretty bad in the doghouse here.
Okay.
He had an accident, made a mistake. I was going to ask you, what do you think the maddest your wife has ever been with you over an accident or you losing something or something like that?
Well, I know the maddest she's ever been at me, but I did it on purpose.
What was it now?
She had to take a work trip. No, she took my son out of town to visit family. And so she's gone. She's left Tulsa. I've got the house to myself. So I went to work and took those days off. And I just sat at the house for a week and didn't tell her. And that was not pretty when she
you
got back.
You think that's the maddest she's ever been at
yeah,
you?
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's not even close.
I want to hear if you think this guy in Australia might be in even more trouble than you were that time. Your wife was the maddest you she'd ever been. A guy in Australia left his fiance's $2,000 wedding dress on the roof of his car, drove off. I think all of us have left like a wallet or something on top of the car and driven off. Can't find it. It's lost. They've offered a $500 reward to anybody that finds it. And here's the bride breaking down what happened.
Don't know why the dress was in the car. That wasn't me. As he moved the stuff to put the storage in the car, put the dress on top of the car to not crush it, and then proceeded to drive off. I guess I can replace the dress, but it's just more the frustration of the situation.
I wonder if she was so mad she considered calling off the wedding.
That's an honest mistake.
Is it, though?
I think we've all put something on the top of our car, or, you know, you know, lost sunglasses or something. I mean, that's a mistake.
That's sunglasses, though. This is a $2,000 wedding dress. Very important thing to people.
Did he do it on purpose? No, he did not. And she even said in that clip that he was trying to make sure it didn't get smushed. And that's why he set it on the car. I mean, he was trying to take care. I don't know, a mistake like that. I'm not sure. You know, it'd be different if he got, like, drunk and threw up on it or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you accidentally leave something on top of your car. I don't think he should be in that much trouble. However, I'm not married to the guy.
How much does a wedding dress even cost these days? I really don't even know.
Apparently $2,000.
Do you remember how much your wife's was?
I have no idea.
Could you describe your wife's wedding dress?
Yeah, it was white. And it had a tiny train and...
You've just described every wedding dress ever.
It had a, you know, it looked like a dress.
Oh, that's a good idea for a game. I need to get all you husbands on the line. Then you have to... describe your wife's wedding dress in great detail, mm-hmm. and then we'll go back and watch that wedding video and see.
Here's how bad I am at paying attention to that kind of stuff. Like, I know she wore a dress because I was there and stuff, but and she wears a wedding ring, you know, when she goes out and, you know, around the house, I guess. And for 2 years, I didn't know it was not the wedding ring I gave her.
She has a stunt wedding ring?
She has a stunt wedding ring. Don't tell anybody.
What the heck is that?
That's on the down low.
Why would she do that?
Because as our bodies change, you know, she wanted to get a ring that...
resized or whatever?
Yeah, and so she doesn't wear the original. And I didn't know it for 2 years.
What color are your wife's eyes?
You know what's funny?
Oh, my God, dude. You don't know what color your wife's eyes are?
So I had to do my taxes online, and they have this security thing. And so I went in, and they're like, are you ever associated with a property at such and such? You probably did this, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to make sure you're the person you say you are. So I logged into my wife's taxes to do hers, and I just answered for her. And it said, what color are your eyes? This asking for her. What color are your eyes on your license? And I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. I can't text her and ask her.
What did you do?
I chose what I thought they were, probably.
Were you correct?
Yeah, it let me through, so I guess I chose right. But there was a moment where I was like,
buddy, if you had to text your wife and be like, what color are your eyes?
Yeah, it would have been bad. So I just, I rolled the dice, and I said, I think it's green.
Well, surely you knew better. You would have, like, taken a little sneak peek, take a little look-see next time you're around her, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but I was so eager to get my taxes done, I didn't want to wait.
Before you do something crazy like that, like text her and ask her, just run that by me first, okay? And I'll tell you whether or not you can do that.
I just guessed, and apparently I was right. So here we go. It's 98.5 The Bull. It's 98.5 The Bull with Tyga Daniel. That Mega Millions last night, all this money, like $1 billion or something. And the first thing I check is to see what state it was won in. Because if it doesn't say Oklahoma, I know that I didn't win. How torturous would it be if it did say somebody in Oklahoma won? And then you're running to the kitchen to find that ticket, man, thinking you might be the guy.
They probably narrowed down the state, though. It might be like somebody in Tulsa, Oklahoma won. Are you buying tickets?
Well, I had family in Alabama. They don't have the lottery in Alabama. And so people call me and they're like, hey, would you get me like 5 lottery tickets? So while I'm up there at that vending machine at Quick Trip, I just got myself 3 tickets.
So you're just leaving your little buddy out of the whole situation here, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely pay you. I'll get on this radio station right now and say, I'll give you 10% of whatever I win.
And then I have to give you 10%.
Yeah, that's the deal.
That's a gentleman's agreement.
Okay, that's fine.
Hey, I'll take it.
It's on record now.
Mm-hmm.
Because this audio belongs to...
Did you see, there was a headline a long time ago, and there was a clip where this aunt and nephew won the lottery. I guess they were, like, playing together or something like that. Anyway, they win, and the aunt is not having it. She is furious. She's like, I don't feel like I should give him part of the money. And he's like, yeah, she's going to have to. They had some kind of agreement, and then whatever happened, then they won, and then it was a big falling out. It ruined their relationship.
Yeah.
Do you think it would ruin our relationship if you won the lottery?
No, because I'm going to give you 10%. I mean, if I won, what was this, $1 billion? Mm-hmm. I would give you $100 million.
After taxes, though, you'd give me like $10,000.
It'd be like $17,000. No, but I mean, like, that's enough money. You don't, like, how could you not be happy with that?
But it's easy for you to say, but do you think you would actually do that?
100%.
Okay.
There's no doubt about it. I've already worked it out in my head who's getting money and who's not.
Oh, you figured it all out?
Yeah. Like, I've got a sister, I've got a brother, they've got kids. They're going to be good. My mom, going to be good.
I'm going through a little similar situation. You know, I have an insurance policy here.
Mm-hmm.
If I pass away, I got it all going to my sister right now. I really don't know who to send it to.
You don't have any heirs, but yeah, send it to your sister. By the way, my son is your godson.
He's already taken care of.
But you could do like 20% to knock off college.
His
for him
dad, the miser. No, this kid is going to be like Jeff Bezos if you kick the bucket. He doesn't need my little bit of money.
Okay. Well, that's messed up. But-